Storyteller.net Amphitheater Podcast.
Hi, welcome to Storyteller.net Amphitheater Podcast Special Edition. I'm Erin Benitez, and I'm your host for this special feature from Storyteller.net. Today we're going to be talking with Sean Bavala, the founder and director of Storyteller.net. Storyteller.net is 10 years old this year. Today's subject is inspired by the release of the movie Enchanted, and we have some questions to ask a professional storyteller. So welcome, Sean, and happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We've been around 10 years with Storyteller.net. We're actually older than Google, which is the most amazing thing about that. Anyway, was there life before Google? I don't know. So anyway, yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
So just to introduce you, Sean is a full-time storyteller and has been telling stories professionally for more than 21 years. He's traveled extensively in the United States. As a matter of fact, he just returned from a month of multiple travel locations ranging from Hawaii to Illinois to Texas and other states and beyond. So where are you going next?
Let's see. I'm doing Thanksgiving in my house next, and then we go to Los Angeles. I'm doing churches and schools in the Los Angeles, California area.
Great. Sean works with adults and teens in schools, libraries, and corporate settings, and he says his stories are somewhere between in your life and in your face, depending on the needs of the group he's with. He's a sought-after speaker, speaking coach, and storyteller. You have a full schedule.
I do have a full schedule. I love the work that I do, but it takes a lot of work to do this full-time, you bet.
Okay, well, so let's talk about this new movie being released by Disney this week, Enchanted.
Yeah.
It appears to be the story of animated fairy tales come to life in the real world. So what types of challenges would a fairy tale find in the real world, Sean?
You know what's interesting to me is that fairy tales, and particularly when we think about what Disney has done with fairy tales in the past, which is not all bad, when we think about fairy tales in the past, fairy tales originally were very real world. They were full of dark images. They were meant to teach lessons and to talk about what happens when one is not fair, when one is not just, when one is not kind, when one doesn't share, when one doesn't obey. So they really were already set in the real world. And what cracks me up about this is they're trying to say, what if a fairy tale existed for real? And they always have existed throughout many cultures, not just the Grimm fairy tales, but any fairy tales were already in the real world. They already existed. So it's funny to say, what happens if a fairy tale was real? And not that fairy tales were necessarily real, but they already were grounded in the real world. So it's not a big leap for a story, for a fairy tale to be real.
Okay. So in some ways there's an irony in this movie that the creators of the modern idea of fairy tales are bringing fairy tales back.
Absolutely. It's absolutely. What happens is that, and what I find really funny, is that Disney has really been the leader, at least in people's minds, over what fairy tales are, going back to the 40s and the 50s, about what a fairy tale is and what it means. And if I say Cinderella, the vast majority of listeners will think some variant of what Disney did with Cinderella, for example.
Right, get that
so it's
cartoon
funny to me,
image.
Right, exactly, the cartoon image. And it's funny to me that the creators of the cartoonish version of fairy tales is now saying, well, what if these fairy tales were real? And to me, there's an irony in that. It's like, well, you guys created this monster in the first place, which is not necessarily a monster. You created this monster in the first place, and now you're saying, well, what if the... And it's funny because it appears that they're almost mocking the way that they put together these fairy tales in the first place.
Right.
So I think there's tremendous irony. I think it's great.
Can you give us an example of how a story was more real world before the animators got a hold of it?
Well, absolutely. Since we're talking about Cinderella, let's look at that one. You know, there are thousands and thousands of variants and variations of the Cinderella story throughout the world, not only the Grimm fairy tale version, which is where Disney drew most of his stuff from, but also in many different cultures. There's lots of different types of Cinderellas out there. In many cases, those Cinderellas are much more in charge of their own life than what happens in the cartoon versions and the Disney versions of that. I mean, and things like that. A lot of them are filled with violence. Some of the original Grimm fairy tales are.
Mm-hmm.
The sisters are so desperate to make the shoe fit at the end that they cut off pieces of their feet in order to fit.
Yeah, see, I remember hearing about that, them chopping.
And the story ends in many versions of it where the birds have actually assisted her in getting what she needs. And in the end, the birds chase after the stepmother and the stepsisters and pull their eyes out of their heads. You know, it's very hard to make a stuffed animal that you can sell. You know, the eyes pop out of their head.
Popping out. That's funny.
Some of those stories already were very. But see, the message there is that when you cheat and lie, you get punished.
Right.
That's where that comes from, and it's very hard to make that into a cute little cartoon.
Yeah. So, do most of the fairy tales have these darker sides, or is it just the grim fairy tales?
Well, I think many fairy tales have these kind of dark, what we would consider more darkness, things to tell. But again, they were meant to teach a lesson, and sometimes it's hard to talk about human nature without addressing some of those difficult issues.
So the waiting for my prince to come thing is not really a big theme of the real fairy tales.
Exactly right. It's this sense of someone's going to come and rescue you is not necessarily part of all fairy tales. And a lot of times the objections that modern people have about fairy tales is that they make women helpless. And that
mm-hmm.
simply is not true. That's simply not true. I think of the repertoire of stories that I have, and most of them don't involve helpless women. But people think about the more Disney-fied versions of things where they're helpless, and you look at, like, Sleeping Beauty, where she never says a word, and he, mm-hmm. the prince, never says a word. They're just helpless in that, and she has to wait till he comes and saves her. No, that's not the normal part of most fairy tales, not at all.
You're listening to a special edition of Storyteller.net Amphitheater Podcast. I'm Erin Benitez, and we're continuing to talk to professional storyteller and founder of Storyteller.net, Sean Bavala, about the disenchanting of enchantment. It'll be interesting to see how these fairy tales are treated in the future by the major studios then.
Well, you know, it actually is, and we look at what's already been done. You look at Shrek, for example, and the Shrek movies are always taking apart fairy tales and fairy tale-like things, and sometimes not very accurately. Basically, they're just reflecting what the contemporary culture considers fairy tales, which is Disney. So basically, they're taking apart Disney. But it'll be interesting, you're right about that, because in 2010, Disney is scheduled to release their version of Rapunzel, which, according to all the buzz on the Internet, kind of started like a Shrek-type movie. But now has gone a little more serious and a little more in-depth. And it'd be interesting to see what they do, because in the original versions of Rapunzel, even the Grimm brothers cleaned them up so that they could be something that could sell easier. So it'd be interesting to see what versions of Rapunzel the Disney studios take on that story. And that's coming out in a couple of years.
Huh. So do movies like this Enchanted help storytelling and the art of storytelling?
In some ways, yes, it's good to keep the concept of storytellers of storytelling out there. It's a good to keep the concept of fairy tales alive for people in a mass market way. But the problem with that is that they present stories as this is the only thing out there. And for a person to come see a really well-trained, well-qualified, talented storyteller take a story apart and tell that story and really immerse the audience in that, there is nothing else like that. There isn't a movie that can replace that. There isn't a DVD that can replace that. There isn't a digital storytelling. There's nothing that can replace that one-on-one between storyteller and audience. In other ways, it's difficult because when I say to people, I'm a storyteller, they think, oh, he's a storyteller and he tells Cinderella. And that's
right.
Simply not true. I mean, think about, I think you were at the last event where I did the snot-nosed boy. And that
uh-huh.
certainly is not a clean little,
Nope.
That's certainly not a nice, gentle story. No, not at all.
As far as the dark types of stories, do you think that it's
mm-hmm.
best to not keep them hidden away anyway, or what are your thoughts on that?
That is sometimes the danger of mass marketing something, is that when we're trying to make it so gentle and so easy for everyone and be rated G, I think this Enchanted movie is actually either PG or PG-13, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. Sometimes when we try to keep things like that, we take away those parts of the story that keep people's attention. I mean, everyone in the world deals with difficult issues. Everyone deals with things they maybe don't want to deal with. And storytelling and fairy tales is a way to address some of that stuff and say, this is our commonality. Yes, we have great and wonderful things together, but we also have difficult and dark moments. And how do other people look at those? And in some ways, that's what fairy tales do, is they allow us to say, there is some darkness, and that can be overcome.
You know, they're like real stories about the real human condition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fairy tales seem like they're really easy to adapt for films. So why do you think that is?
Well, I think fairy tales in general are very approachable for audiences because they talk about the essentials of the human condition. All of us have known family members that sometimes we think are out to get us, that we've all had times where we think that the world is not fair. We've had times when wonderful things have happened. We've had times when we wish something would step in and fix us and be the fairy godparent or be that moment where things happen. I think that those commonalities of the human condition in fairy tales, those are what stay. Look at Sleeping Beauty, for example, and let's look at the Disney version. You know, the fear that parents have that something bad will happen to their children, we all have that experience. We all have that experience. And fairy tales help us to address those commonalities and so to be able to take those fairy tales and go, yeah, I get that. I understand that.
Right. Well, it'll be fun to see how the Enchanted movie plays out. That
mm-hmm.
is, you know, if the prince does the saving or if he's the savee, if you know what I mean. Sean,
yeah.
Thanks for talking with us today. Where can folks learn more about storytelling?
Well, there's lots of places, and the Internet is a great way to learn more about storytelling. As you mentioned at the beginning of the call, Storyteller.net is 10 years old this year, and Storyteller.net is a great resource for people who want to hear stories, read stories, learn about storytelling. So I always tell people, come start at Storyteller.net and just start digging around. It's free of charge, no meter running. So come dig around, find stuff. You may find things that are like, oh, that's really cool. You might find stuff that go, ooh, I don't like that. That's okay. There's 400 tellers on the site from all over the world. There's lots of ways to learn about storytelling at storyteller.net.
Okay, and specifically about your work as a teller, do you have a website?
My primary website for myself, of course, I'm listed at storyteller.net in the directory, but my main website is at seantells.com, and that's Sean is S-E-A-N. TELLS.com, SeanTells.com. My calendar's up there, my contact form, some videos, some audio, some articles, reviews of the work that I do, things like that. So that's at SeanTells.com, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for talking to us today.
You bet.
And thank you to our listeners for being with us. To learn more, please visit Storyteller.net for lots of free articles, stories, podcasts, interviews, and more. This is Erin Benitez, and I've been your host for this special edition of the Storyteller.net Amphitheater Podcast. Thanks for listening.
That's the show. Thank you very much. You guys come back, please, and visit Storyteller.net. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Awesome story. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Storyteller.net Amphitheater Podcast. All rights reserved.
The Storyteller.net Podcast is copyright 2007.
The Storyteller.net Amphitheater Podcast.